This is Dairy Radio Now. Milky Monday.
Lucas Fees, Senior Dairy Analyst with Rabobank in Chicago. Lucas, U.S. beef prices have soared to record highs, and while this has given dairy farmers some much-needed added income and prompted some changes in their breeding programs, it's also going to result in lower numbers of replacements and likely keep a lid on U.S. milk production. How does this play out in Rabobank's analysis?
Thanks, Lee. It's a really interesting scenario that we have unfolding, and a little bit different than any other time, I think, when we've seen some margin recovery and profitability emerge like we have over the past few weeks. Just to recap, milk production did turn positive in August and September, and with those lower prior year comparable data points and improved margins, Rabobank does expect milk production to be at least flat or moving higher versus the prior year throughout the rest of Q4 and into 2025. But you're right, the interesting situation that we've got is even if dairy farmers did want to expand their herd and grow cow numbers at a pretty quick rate to take advantage of those profits that have emerged, the cow situation is a little bit different than normal. We have, as you mentioned, beef on dairy. We have very high prices for day-old calves. We have very high prices for springers or general replacements. And it's really presenting some financial calculus for dairy farmers when the costs of these animals are so much different than anything we've dealt with in the past. I think that it will prevent a quick resurgence in cow numbers and will prevent us from seeing a really strong milk production recovery, regardless of what farmers might want to do with milk prices the way they are right now.
And that should keep milk prices relatively high, I would assume.
I think so. We seem to be in a pretty good balance right now with supply and demand, and hopefully this little sweet spot that we've have emerged can continue here for the near term.
The latest cold storage report was bullish on cheese, not so bullish on butter.
That's correct. Butter, kind of as expected, you know, we've seen a pretty normal downturn in stocks over the past few months, of course, on that seasonal basis. I think end users finally confident in butter supply through the end of the year. On cheese, though, really interesting numbers. We just keep seeing those stocks ticking lower, down around the lowest levels of cheese in storage since late 2020. So overall, I think contributed to that maybe short squeeze that we saw in September. Moving forward, we'll be watching those numbers closely.
Lucas Fees, Senior Dairy Analyst with Rabobank in Chicago.
Thanks, Lee. The Agriculture Secretary provided an explanation of planned testing of milk samples for the possible H5N1 contamination in efforts to prevent the spread of the bird flu virus. We hear more from USDA Radio's Rod Bain.
A breakdown of how USDA testing of milk samples for potential H5N1 virus will work, as provided by Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack.
We will first test silos. We'll go to processors who have accumulated significant amounts of milk product. We'll test that milk. So testing will give us an opportunity to get maybe ahead, if you will.
The secretary at a Morlaug Dialogue press conference said testing begins in states with reported cases of H5N1 in dairy cattle.
Get a clear idea of where in the states that currently have the virus, whether it's expanded or whether there are areas of the state that we need to address in terms of biosecurity.
Testing will eventually expand in tiered stages to all 50 states.
We test the silos. If it turns out that there's virus, we'll then begin the process of going to more specific testing, bulk tank testing on farm, so that we can identify exactly where the virus might be.
Secretary Vilsack adds the testing regime is based in part on recent developments and efforts in California and Colorado.
When H5N1 first appeared on the scene, we indicated our approach was going to be similar to the approach we've taken with other animal diseases, which is that we respond and react as the situation evolves and changes. We've recently seen the introduction of H5N1 in California, and for a period of time we thought it was relatively contained in that state, but we've obviously seen recently a significant number of increases in the number of herds that have been impacted and affected, despite efforts on the part of California. We also, at the same time, we saw the state of Colorado institute a fairly aggressive testing regime, and the result of that testing regime allowed them to identify precisely where the virus was, to utilize a number of tools, including advanced biosecurity, and as a result, they are now virus-free. So we see that that system of biosecurity, identifying where the virus is and trying to contain it, at least worked in the context of a Colorado. At the same time, we're seeing, obviously, where we have a more intense concentration of dairy operations in California, we're continuing to see more and more herds being impacted.
I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.